Hi, Fiona. Thank you so much for being willing to come on and help us think a little bit more widely about the world. So how are you? Let's start with that. How are you getting on? How is lockdown affecting you?
Well, I'm fine, thank you. I'm very thankful to still be working. So I do most of my work from home. I go to the office one day a week. We're keeping it open. And I take a turn to answer the phones and to be there by myself. So very thankful that the people we support are keeping well in Redwoods and actually enjoying some quiet time to do my hobbies and talk to my friends. So I'm doing fine. Yeah.
Just tell us a little bit about what it is that you do. What is it you do basically?
Yeah. So Redwoods is a Christian foundation, a Christian charity that supports people with learning disabilities. So we have a day service, which is obviously closed down just now, and we support people in homes. So we have four places where people are supported. And of course, they are staying home and having to be cared for 24/7. So, and I'm in the administrative part. I'm in the office and I do pastoral care for the staff as well by text and phone call at the moment. So that's a little challenging. Yeah.
So, I mean, that in itself is quite important, what you're doing, and we're not really going to talk about any of that today. We could spend this conversation talking a little bit about that work, but that's not why we're having this conversation. You and I were in a meeting the other night and for the World Concern Group, the church's World Concern Group, which helps us just have a bigger perspective on what's happening. And something you said really struck me, and that's why we're having this conversation today, and it's come up for me a number of times this week about having a bigger view of what's happening in the world. And something you said really struck me when you were talking about Colombia, which is a country you know really well, having worked there and served there. And so I thought it would be good just to hear a little bit both about how Colombia is coping with the coronavirus, but also the ministry which you've been involved with, and also you've helped us continue to be involved with, particularly this year. So just tell us a little bit about the situation in Colombia. Are they facing the same thing as we're experiencing here?
Yeah, so they have been in a quarantine for several weeks as well. It's actually stricter than ours in some ways. You're only allowed out depending on the number of your ID card, and men are allowed out one day and women the next. Wow. And it's much more limited as the sorts of things that you're allowed out. And they really took the measures because they were terrified of it sweeping through their health system. They knew that they couldn't cope if they had huge numbers. And the measures have worked in the sense that they have relatively few cases. They've had 225 deaths and about 4,000 plus cases. So and there will be some underreporting, but in general, the impression is that early measures have worked. But of course, what they're experiencing, and many, many people in Colombia and around the world in the global south, is many people just make in a day what they live on for that day. And it might be selling chewing gum on a bus, or it might be baking something in the morning that you sell. And if there's nobody on the streets, so there are no buses running, then you have literally no income and no food. So there's a lot of hunger, there's a lot of suffering. There are attempts, you know, to help, and different authorities are trying to help and churches are helping and so on. But there's still a lot of suffering and a lot of hardship. And that will be repeated in many countries in Latin America and in Africa as well.
Mm. Yeah. Goodness, it's quite sobering, isn't it, when we think about, you know, basically most of us are experiencing discomfort. Okay, there's quite a lot of pain, people losing jobs and so on. I mean, I've had friends this week who've experienced that, and that's really difficult. But there's a kind of, hopefully there's a support network to kind of support, help people through that. But in many places there won't be that. So, goodness, it's almost, what do you say in the face of that? I think it's helpful for us to know about it, and it maybe encourages us to be vocal about that, that we need to be less parochial here and more concerned about what's happening in the global stage. So that's really helpful to be reminded of that. Thank you. Tell us a little bit about Vive which is a ministry you, again, you know well, and you've got us involved in supporting that. Just how is that faring in the face of all of this and what's been happening?
Well, Vive, it trains churches to run clubs for children and provides materials for them. So, of course, all their face-to-face activities are on hold. There's nothing happening. All the training events or planting new, you know, starting new clubs or meetings with pastors, all of that is postponed just now. So they're working, they're using the time to prepare materials and get as much done for the whole of the year, because they don't have any trips planned or any events planned. But the work itself on the ground with children is going on, because amazingly, even in these rural areas, the leaders who would normally be meeting their children week after week are recording little parts of the lessons, recording messages for the children, sending them out on WhatsApp or putting them on Facebook. So some places they will have signal, mobile signal, and some places will have internet. So they're trying to keep the sort of structure of the clubs going, even if they can't meet. And our materials are being used by schools, Christian schools and other schools. And so, like here, teachers are trying to teach online, and some of our materials are being used for that. So in that sense, a lot of good stuff is still going on, although, of course, they're very limited in what they can do. Mm. Yeah.
So this is a slightly tricky question to ask, but if we were praying, what might we pray? What would be the best things for us to be praying?
Well, I think we can pray. It seems very general, but we have to trust that God knows how to answer the prayer for people who are really struggling, and for the church to be mobilized to help, for governments to be faithful stewards. I mean, stories that are coming out of Colombia too, with corruption. So money has been set aside to help people. It's not going to the people that need it, you know, to pray against those sorts of things. So at a general level, even just in our prayers, if we have a sense of praying for countless millions around the world in that situation, I think it helps us. God can take our prayers and knows how to answer them. So I think you can pray at that level. For Vive, pray for the leaders, pray for the leadership who will have to make decisions. Funding is an issue because we sell a lot of our materials to schools. Schools aren't operating, perhaps aren't going to get fees from the parents, that sort of chain reaction, which might have an impact on us. So pray for the continued survival of Vive and the impact that it can have in children's lives. Those sort of more very, very general prayer and a very specific prayer for Vivi would be great.
Okay, that is so, so helpful, very powerful. We're going to put up a link that if people felt able or led to support Vivi directly, they would be able to go via Latin Link and offer some support. So we'll put the link up in a wee while, and we'll pray. I'll put the link up and we'll pray, basically, is what we're going to do, and we'll pray for the nation of Colombia, for the people of Colombia, and we'll pray for Vive in particular. So thank you so much for being willing to talk with us and to share with us, and we see your heart being moved even as you speak about it, and that is really powerful and a help to us as well. So thank you.
No, my pleasure. Thanks, David. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.